Good evening, everyone. We're going to get started at 7 p.m. on the dot, and we're going to get started. So if you want to grab your last decaf coffee, water, and then have a seat, and we're going to get started tonight. So first off, I just want to say thank you, everyone, for coming tonight. We're so glad you're here. We know this is holiday season. There's, you know, Christmas concerts, basketball games, all those things going on. We're so thankful you decided to prioritize E-Shift and that you were able to make it tonight. So give yourselves a hand. All right. Thank you. All right. I wanted to let you know a couple things before we all get started, but Pastor Josh is in Indy weekend for, and I keep popping in and out, but we'll get this. He's in Indy this weekend for a wedding, and he's unable to be here for this tonight and tomorrow morning, but he will be back for the next evangelism shift seminar that we have. So, and we've got Bruce and Bob back with us today. We're so thankful to have them. They made it in safely. So that's good. God is good to us, right? Isn't he? Pastor Josh wanted me to share also that we want you to be thinking about what the Lord has already been doing in your life right now, with your family, with your pearls, with your mindset change that we've been working on since the seminar. And Josh wanted me to point out that if you haven't noticed, there's been a lot of new things at our church on Sundays. Maybe you've noticed that. I've seen it too. And the Lord is doing something for sure. That's what I've got to say. So since we've been focusing on prayer and seeing what the Lord is doing in our church and in our community. So, all right, we're going to pray and we will open it up tonight. Lord Jesus, thank you so much for this evening. Thank you for this opportunity that we have to gather together and to continue to hear from Bruce and Bob. We thank you, Lord, that you are opening our hearts as a church and as a community to have a more mindset focus on spreading your word, Lord, and telling others about Jesus. And I pray, Lord, that you would open our hearts, open our minds, open our ears tonight, that we can hear what you have for us. Help us to be able to focus and put away all distractions from this week or from this weekend coming up. We thank you that we can be here and that we can focus and learn from you, Lord. And I pray that Bob and Bruce would speak from your words, Lord. And we're excited to hear what you're going to do for us today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, let's welcome Bob coming up today, right now.
Yeah, this is weird. I'm from Indy, so Josh went there and I came here. So.
Yeah.
And he twisted my arm, and sorry, you're going to have to hear me preach Sunday. And looking forward to that, to be with you in your Advent series. And I bring a lot of excitement, electricity to the sound system when I speak. So, how are we doing? Well, it's good to be back with you, and been looking forward to this. As you know, this was one of my 40 churches I oversaw when I was a district guy, so been watching you for a number of years. And you know, you were saying you've seen a number of people coming. This is the time of year people are thinking. And don't be surprised if people will be visiting your church in the next couple of weeks. Especially, I think, with the economy the way it is and everything, people feel a little down, maybe they're searching for something. And hopefully your training you're going through with us is going to help you to get to know them. If you turn to pages 12 to 13, there goes my tea. Sorry about that, cleaning crew. Thanks, Bruce. This is our lifestyle witnessing priority pages that we're going to be working through. And we're going to have 10 of them. Just a reminder, the first one was that we talked about was a sense of sentness in every circumstance and encounter, and just thinking that when you wake up in the morning that the people you bump into maybe aren't coincidences. Maybe you have been sent to them. You just have that mindset. And And then number two, building real friendships with non-church people. And I know you've been working on that as a church for a number of years, and that's really part of your DNA. I'd like to just throw it open to some comments, you bold people. How did that last seminar impact you? What did you learn that kind of challenged you, and what have you been using maybe? Let's get a couple of people to share, a couple of examples.
I doubled down prayer.
You doubled down on prayer? No. That's going to be what we're talking about tonight. One of the things we're talking about. Yeah, Dave.
One of my pearls, usually it's just constant, so it's not just to be able to have a lot of contact involved here.
Okay. I like what you said. So you call the people you're going after pearls? Is that Sherman? I know you said that last time. Okay, that's neat. One of my pearls. I like that. Anybody else? Yeah, Ashley.
The Lord opened the door with one of my pearls that I didn't expect. I wasn't even looking for it. Over Thanksgiving dinner. Oh, here
we go. Let's fuck this. Yeah. Anybody have a surprise sentence that you just going about your day and all of a sudden you realized, ooh, God was in that? Think of anything there? Yeah.
I had a long, like, what it did. I went out and left, and
there's nothing more precious than to be with someone that you have a privilege of praying with them, or even after they've done it, just to see the change in them, change in their face and their countenance and everything. Great. How about that second one, building real relationships? How have you been trying to do that as you be proactive and looking at your neighbors and people at work? Anybody have a story to share about that? Yeah.
I'm a coworker who I'm still in contact with. That might track me down. Reach out to her. She's going to actually have to make payment. We talked about it together at this session. Last night. So she was, that's my freedom, but we're after that. My mouth was put together, so I get a text just that week, but she beat me to it. So I'm going to ask you to go to lunch.
Oh.
I definitely see what she's not to develop.
That's great. Yeah, I think I shared with you, my wife and I kind of downsized and moved into a development of older people, because we are older people, and just a small 1,500 square foot home, condo, freestanding home, which made Thanksgiving interesting with 16 in our family coming for dinner and spending the night. Man, we had air mattresses everywhere, but they like to come to our house. We like that. And so that's kind of become, these 90 homes have kind of become my mission field now that I'm not on staff at the church any longer. And so I go out for walks and do prayer walks and things. Well, this last Tuesday was our annual Christmas party. We go to a restaurant, and I'm the designated prayer, you know. Got a pastor in the area, we're going to have him pray, you know. And so I never, you know, you never know what to do with that, because you know there's some people. About 4 years ago, the guy across the street, his wife died, and they're not believers, but he asked me to do the funeral service. And he told me, I don't believe in all this, but I want you to do it, because she had friends who believe in that. So it was just kind of neat to be able to think it through and stand up and share a little Christmas message with them and pray. And you never know. You never know. I think, again, at this time of the year, this is a tough time of the year. I'm going to be sharing a little bit about that Sunday morning. Some tragedy we went through 47 years ago at Christmas. It just kind of, you know, every Christmas just kind of brings it all back. But when you see someone who's gone through a tragedy, I mean, boy, that's an open door. That's a way to go and really touch people and be with them and just be there. I think too often, you know, we try to think of what to say. Don't say anything, just be there. Just be with them. Well, good. I'm glad you're thinking about this and you're putting it into use. We want to look at some priorities here up on the screen. How's it going? We've talked about accountability partners. Hopefully you have designated 2 to 4 people that you're on your list that you're trying to reach, but then we also encourage you to build accountability partnerships. And I don't know if you've had done that yet or not, and if not, maybe by this weekend, make sure you contact some people in the room and do that. But let's just kind of check in. Those of you who are checking in with each other, what do your times look like? What are you doing? How are you doing that as a team? Who wants to share? Give me an example. Or are we not doing it? Yeah.
I've got a couple partners to meet once.
Okay.
We designated that our next place go to St. Walter.
Okay. Where do you meet?
You meet that's Jasper Black.
Well, okay.
In the conference room, it's really been.
What's a typical meeting? What's an hour meeting look like?
We make sure that we're up to speed with our family fellowship. Who is it? Does we plan his best? Maybe talk to have process people with. At least not enter everyone's wallet. There's a little bit of love.
So is that accountability, knowing you're going to be meeting with them, does that kind of push you a little bit to do that rather than doing it on your own? My wife and I go to a exercise class Monday, Wednesday, Friday. She goes to the class, I go upstairs and do the elliptical and some other stuff. And I always ask her how to go, and she said, it killed her, but she said, if I did that on my own, I would never do that. I would never do the number of reps. I'd quit halfway through, but because I'm doing it with a group and there's accountability, she does it. And I think that's what happens with this, is we have that accountability. Anybody else have a group that meets regularly and what you've been doing?
We only met once.
Okay.
I was away and we were doing stuff, so we texted that once, but then one says,
Okay.
Well, that's, my kind of more, and more on, plus more of us.
Okay. And, one of the things is, what's been hard. I think part of the hardness at this time of the year is the schedule and get everybody together and do it. So phone calls, texts, but I think it is good to meet in person, face-to-face, and pray with each other. Let's see, our last seminar was 6 weeks ago, I believe. And so we just want to encourage you each time to just keep on that. If you haven't formed the group yet, please do that, because that's where you're going to find that it really works with accountability and it really works with prayer, what we're going to be talking about tonight. The other thing we mentioned as a possibility is just to set up a meal with a friend. Just to invite somebody out and go have a meal with them. Anybody have a chance to do that other than what's been shared? What was that like? What happened? who wants to share something about a meal you had? Or something about gathering with food? Anybody? Yeah.
I have a name for this king.
Yeah, that.
But do you see it?
Okay. So
he's kind of feathered and he really don't know it, but he is so old. He went to the restaurant here in Syracuse. He got to talk about religion. You know, what you, where you at? And so it was kind of adorable.
Yeah, how did that come up? Did you bring it up? Did she bring it up or what? How did the religious talk come up? How did...
And I just said something about she wanted me to do something tonight. And I said, I can't. I just have to take a class at church. So I told her what it was. And she says, oh, that's interesting. So that just kind of led to the... Now,
okay.
She was, and where were? Yeah.
So you didn't tell her that it's a class for you to target people, and she's on your list, and you're coming after her. You didn't tell her that, did you?
No. And I just kept. It was a good conversation.
Good. Anybody else? You know, I think I shared last time, the lady next door to us had to move out into a nursing facility. And so my wife and I have been praying. I've been praying and praying that a non-Christian would move in. And she's been praying that a Christian would move in. And God listens to her more than me because a nice Christian lady moved in. And I was out in the driveway working and met her for the first time. She said, "Now, I hear you were a pastor." I said, "Yeah, so the reputation's out there, so I got to be real careful in my community. You know, I got to, you know, when you're pastoring a church, everybody's looking at you, and I'm thinking, now that I'm retired, I can goof off a little bit, but I guess I can't. I got to. But we just encourage you to think about that between now. Of course, it's going to be hard between now and January when we have an episode with Christmas and everything, but.
I kind of interested. The timing is really interesting. It was kind of like this. Our clergy started here at work. The guy named Randy, and he's you can tell me the Lord. He's kind of past the age of the Pharisee, but that still gives a beating. And he's not. He doesn't have a lot of friends, I don't think. And I just met his friend or whatever. And he says, "Hey, we need to get together for breakfast sometime." And then he got father. And I talked to one of the guys that, you know, I said, "Hey, you have Randy's phone?" And he checked and he gave me his phone. And so Randy and I have just been kind of touching face. But I don't think, I don't know if I would have, I would have kind of put it off and kind of would have lost that contact if it wasn't for this group. But I think I've been encouraged to kind of continue contacting this guy. But it was a real, it was God coming to me. It wasn't because of me, but God.
Yeah.
He said, "Hey, why don't we get together for breakfast?" It's like, okay. No.
Yeah, we shouldn't be surprised if we're praying for people that the Holy Spirit leads them to you. This is going to be a good couple sessions tonight and tomorrow because we're going to be talking about some of these things, about prayer. We're going to be talking about how do you do questions, how do you take questions and start turning them towards more of a spiritual nature. Because, you know, that's the easy part is to meet with someone and have breakfast and talk about the Colts or talk about the weather and how your family... You know, how do I get this going on a spiritual level? We're going to be talking about that. So we have a video we want you to see, and then Bruce is going to come up and do some teaching.
I love that because your stories is just an illustration of what you just saw here. It's like, you guys are already doing this. And so it's like, we make a video of you guys, but to think of how many people out there are hurting and that your guy gets fired and I'm already blessed by being here. Before I go on, let me just give a personal note. Thank you so much for your prayers for our family. The Lord in his wisdom delayed me getting home a whole day after I left here, which is like, I don't know what you're doing, but everything went really well at home. Trudy's mom is doing amazingly well. My wife's name is Trudy, doing very well. And again, I don't know who was responsible for it, but we got to the family service that Wednesday night and looking through the flowers, and I just stopped. I couldn't. You guys sent flowers. I was like, you don't even know us, but so whoever was responsible for that at the church, I'm like, yeah, blew me away. So your kindness to us strangers, and you don't know my wife, I hope she comes out on one of these trips, but it meant a lot. I mean, it really meant a lot, and things are going real well at home. There, if those of you who've lost parents or grandparents, finding things and was this done and this legality and this, it was all in order, but finding things, that's kind of what they're working on now. So thank you a lot for your concern and your prayers. So it means a lot to me. What you've already been talking about, what your stories are, what this video is, it's a good lesson for us kind of going forward. I'm going to use an example. How many of you, when you were kids, your mom made you learn how to play the piano? Yeah. Yeah, oh, it's the way in our house, too. How many of you stuck with it? I hope some of you did. I didn't see very many hands go up. I think you're one of the few. In our family, it was like this. So I'm in a little farm town, and when you're in fourth grade, you can start in the band. So my mom taught my brother and me how to play piano. She says, you have to do this until you get to fourth grade, and then if you're in band, you can quit. So that was a good incentive to get into the band. But so I remember, you know, finding middle C, and I'm trying to remember what that first little book we all played from. They had the same silly little song. Does anybody remember what that book was? You know, how are we plinkety plinkety? But if I had continued on that, there'd be a point where, and a lot of you are illustrations of this, where you're going like, playing piano looks like a lot of fun. And then you go, it's also a lot of work. And more than playing piano, I would say my main illustration of that is playing basketball. Which, you guys, you're the Hoosiers, so of course you're a basketball state. North Dakota is too, we're just not famous like you are. But I'm from a little high school where either you played basketball or you were nobody. I mean, that's how clear it was. We didn't have any other sports. And so I played basketball, but my junior year of high school, I remember we had a scrimmage before Thanksgiving, and after Thanksgiving, I quit. I was like, I was just fed up with it. I didn't want to do this anymore. And the coach and the JV coach came to me a few days later and said, we really like you to come back. And I was like, no. But I did, for whatever reason. And there was something that clicked. I was never a star. I was always short, so I grew 3 inches after I graduated high school. How unfair is that, Lord? So I was always the point guard. I was a good defensive player, but I couldn't shoot worth anything. But there was a point where I came back, it changed my attitude towards the game. I actually played basketball at a little Bible college in Omaha, Nebraska for 4 years, some of the most fun of my life. But all that is, whether it's the piano or basketball or whatever it is you did, the euphoria of enjoying something and what you imagine it to be is replaced by, oh, this is work. And as encouraging as your stories are, probably most of you are going, I don't know, you guys were here 6 weeks ago and this isn't very easy. And you're like, yeah, that's right. And there's a good line that we have that's nothing worthwhile. That moment when you decide it's worth it, we have a line that says nothing worthwhile is easy. And there's been things in my life that have been easy for me. And I find that I have less appreciation for them than the things that I had to just bust my tail for, if that makes any sense. This is one of those things. And so I love what we did in Seminar 1. I think what you guys are going to get tonight and tomorrow morning is probably my favorite of all of them, because I'm not an evangelist. I'm more introverted than extroverted. And it's like this whole witnessing thing is hard. And, but I want to do it, and I want to see people saved, and I want to see people in the kingdom. But we're going to make a decision mentally to say, this is worth it. And so even if you came tonight and you're saying, hi, you know, just stick with us. And so what we're going to talk about tonight, and Bob told you, we're on page 35 right now. So you're going to see a chart there that I'm going to show and explain to you in just a minute. But we want to talk about this journey towards faith in Jesus. That's kind of the title of the whole lesson. And I want to go back to one little thing that we did last seminar was, do you remember the difference between born again, which is an event, and conversion, which we said is a journey? And we kind of differentiated between those two things. We really want to focus on the journey part tonight. And actually, we want to make it even simpler than we tried to make it last time by saying there is a series of steps that instead of going from he or she is lost, needs the gospel, let me share the gospel, that there's a bunch of steps in here that I think you're going to find very encouraging. So I want you to see in your notes what I'm going to show you here on the screen, and it doesn't matter which you look at. Our basic premise is that if you want to look at this list of things, your notebooks have minus 13. I added actually a minus 14 on this from our experience working with churches. What we're going to do with this chart is I'm going to take the next little bit and walk through these numbers, and here's the basic premise. Let's just assume that you have three. Maybe you have two. Maybe you have four people that you're praying for. By the time I get done explaining this, I'm going to tell you where I'm headed, and then I'm going to go backwards and do this with you. We want to find out where the people we're praying for are on where they are in terms of this scale, and we're going to say, what would it take for God to move them and me be involved in them moving one step, just one? Because again, those of us who, you know, so I want you to look at the minus 14. Again, whether you look in your notes or up here on the screen or on this screen, we added a minus 14 because, well, I'll go minus 13 first. Some of the people that you're going to encounter, they have no exposure to the Christian faith. And you go, it's Indiana. It's the United States. Everybody has an exposure to the Christian faith, right? Not anymore. Probably in my childhood, yes. John North, who started this ministry in Australia, he would tell you if he was here that Australia is more post-Christian than the United States is. And his example was, in Australia, if you walk up to an average person and say, who would you say Jesus Christ is? They would say, Jesus Christ, that's just a swear word. Like, they don't know the Christmas story. They don't know anything. We're not there yet as a country, but we're moving more towards that direction. And what he would say in Australia is getting more common here in the United States is that some of the people that you're going to meet, or maybe that you already know, they actually don't have any exposure to the Christian faith at all, which, again, doesn't seem possible, but it's true. And the reason we added a minus 14 is from our conversations at other churches. We think that a step even before that is a person not only who hasn't had exposure to Christian faith, but they've had a negative experience with the Christian faith. And I bet you can think of people like that that you know. And I could tell you stories of some of the guys on my list that I'm talking to. They grew up in church XYZ, doesn't even matter. And they said, when I was 12 years old, this is what happened. And the pastor or the priest said this, or this is how I was made to feel. One of the guys that has now moved away, and so I don't have contact with him anymore. Yeah. His dad was an alcoholic. His uncle was rich. His uncle went to, I assume it was a Baptist church or something in Tennessee, I think is where it was. His alcoholic dad made him and his little brother go to church and sit in the front pew so that uncle, who was rich, would see that the boys were in church. That's how he formed his impression of the church. He hated it because of that. Didn't have anything to do with Jesus. He didn't have a problem with Jesus, but he had this very negative exposure to the Christian faith, which soured him, and boy, he and I, before he moved, had some really amazing conversations. He just pummeled me with questions. And he's a good guy. He actually turned out as a young adult to be a pretty nice young man. But it's like, so not only are we going to find more and more people with no exposure to the Christian faith, we're going to find more and more people who actually had enough taste of the church to actually hate it, right? Have any of you had that experience? Have you met people with that kind of experience? I see some nodding heads. Yeah. So what would it take to move a minus 14 person or a minus 13 person just one spot? Look at what the one spot is, minus 12. They encountered a real Christian. You know who that person is? You and me. I remember I've had it when I was with the Evangelical Free Church. I had a chance to teach at a school in Russia a few times back in the early 2000s through about 2010. And on my flight home, one of the times I sat by a young lady who had married a Russian, but she was from Denmark. And I'm tired, I'm exhausted, I don't need to talk at all, I'm happy to just take a nap. We ended up talking almost the whole flight, and at some point in the conversation, it came up about Christianity. We started talking about that. And she said, I knew there was something about you. Really? We've been talking for an hour, barely touching on spiritual things, but there should be, if you, and I'm assuming that we are, if we're real Christians, there should be something about us that they go, it's pretty hard to hate him or hate her. There's something about them. Look, so if they've had no exposure to a Christian and they encounter you as a real Christian, that person's moved a step. So we're trying to eliminate some of the pressure and go, let me just keep walking through some of these. I'll spend more time on some and less on others. Minus 11 has a positive impression of the Christian's life. So not only do they like, they've met you, they got some impression of you. That's probably a little more of where that young woman was. But here's another one. I've told you I'm in the Rotary Club, and I think it's 4 years ago now. We had our annual spaghetti feed, which is our big fundraiser, and I love feeling, you know, there's a lot of banter that goes on in the kitchen, you know, slinging spaghetti and sauce and coleslaw and bread. It's a lot of fun, and it's a lot of work. But we got to the end of our serving that night, and a young man who I had met at Rotary in passing a few times said, can I talk to you for a minute? I was like, yeah, sure, you know, we're just about done. So we kind of got off to the side of this kitchen area where we were. And this is what he said to me, and I'll never forget. This is, I think, almost a direct quote. He said, I've watched how you navigate life, and I wonder if I could talk to you about something. And I go, so our Rotary meetings are Wednesdays at noon. We have a meal, we say a prayer, we sing a song, we have trivia, and we have a speaker. And like, you watched how I navigate life. You've seen me half a dozen times. Maybe sat at your table with me a couple of times. So the things that people pick up from us when we don't even know that they're watching is crazy. And so we had coffee a couple of days later. He'd just gone through a really painful divorce, two little boys. There's like, oh my goodness. He needed somebody safe to talk to, and he'd seen something. Like, so he's moved, right? The next one. Becomes open to talking about personal issues. So we talked about this last time a little bit. In the Midwest, you can talk to anybody about news, weather, and sports. If you can get to family, that's actually another level of conversation. It doesn't seem like a very hard step, but if you can say, hey, are you married? Do you have kids? Oh yeah, I've actually got 6 grandkids. But you do. Somehow, that's if they let you know that, you've already moved a step. Is this making sense so far? What we're doing is we're breaking down the journey into bite-sized pieces so that instead of being scared by the total pagan needs to hear the gospel, I don't know how to get from here to there. I'm going, what if we broke it down? Let me go through a few more. Minus 9 has discussions about spiritual things with the Christian. That's a big step. It's not a huge step, but it's if you get from family to, by the way, this is how I've kind of got into some of these conversations, and it doesn't seem to be very threatening. Hey, it's again, a Rotary Club. I've known you in Rotary for the last 10, 15 years. I couldn't even tell you what your religious background is, your church. Oh, we go to Methodist church down to, oh, you do? Why don't pastor such and such? And those little gateways, again, as long as people still have some kind of religious background, you can get to spiritual things that way. And so that's a step. Next one, minus 8, begins to understand what God is like. Why would that one be important? So a little bit of feedback from you. Why is that a significant step or even a measurable step? And you can answer it either positively or negatively. I can see it going both ways.
Okay. So, they're not going to, eventually, Chris is going to mess up and it's not going to, they're just always going to go off. Like,
right.
Yeah.
So, if, yes, all right, good. How else would some of you say it? If you can get them to get to step minus eight to understand what God is like, why is that? Yes, Tom.
Well, I figured one guy is going to go with
Good question.
She went, God went as well.
Negative, I assume.
I think I read the idea of
it can go, that's right, it can go both ways, yes.
Yeah, a lot of people have experiences may not remember those who got it. They only learn something that they've been false teaching.
Correct.
And something you didn't know who got.
That's exactly right. They have all these experiences, good, bad, or ugly. They form their view of God based on that, and they might, yeah, exactly. Anybody else? Why is that a significant but important step? Anybody else have another thought? This is really good, really good. Beyond themselves. Good, very well said. And this is about where I get stuck. I'll be honest with you. I'm still introverted, right? So I'm still afraid to go to the gospel. So I can get to some of these steps, but I'll give you minus seven. I'll keep going here a little bit. Number seven, hears or interacts with the Christian story of relationship with Christ. And I think I mentioned this last time, but I'm pretty good at hiding behind questions. Like I can always think of the next question to ask you. And I remember in this lunch with one of the guys that I've befriended along the way, and he was saying something of a spiritual nature, and it was like the Holy Spirit said, here's an opportunity for you to tell him something about your journey. And I would have just gone on past it, like, oh, there is a point where you and I have to put ourselves out and go, can I tell you just a little bit? You're not going to give them the hour and a half spiel, right? Do you say spiel here in Indiana? You do? Okay, that's a good German something or other. You're going to give them the two-minute portion, see if they're interested in it, where you can say more. But your story becomes important. And I don't have a dramatic salvation story. I got saved when I was 4 or 5 years old. I was never the bad kid, but I still have a story, right? Keep going. Number six, here's the gospel explained. Why isn't that not minus two? You mean there's even steps after that? So here's what John has told us from his experience, a lot of years being an evangelist. The average person needs to hear the gospel 4 or 5 times before it clicks or connects. The average person needs to hear the gospel 4 or 5 times before it clicks or connects. And again, as we get more post-Christian, that number's probably going to go up. Because, again, if you learn how to share your faith and hit the streets, which is all great, I'm totally in favor of that too, you feel like if you made a good gospel presentation, what are we hoping will happen? Yes, Jesus, let's get saved today. Well, don't be surprised if you have a chance to walk through any version of the gospel and they're like, that's really interesting. And you're going, in your head, you're going, do you want to pray the prayer? They might be ready. And maybe God's used other people, but they might. Yes, go ahead.
At work day, it's interesting. This guy at work, his name Joe, and holy, I'm so different. He has hair down at the shoulders, long dark tattoos. He's a womanizer. He's a nice guy. But a friend walked on the dark side of life.
But then I talked to him. He said, and I asked about what do you believe? He says, I'm a nihilist. I said, what's a nihilist? He said, I don't believe in anything. And he confirmed. And I talked to another guy who was trying to witness to him. The guy's totally closed off. But he said, right now, my relationship with him between -10 and -8.
Yeah.
For some reason, he likes to talk to me. But I don't think he's a tough cookie. So
that's great.
Frank,
yeah. Because what do we know? I can't make a spiritually dead person come to life. It has to be God, but I'm his tool or instrument. And so, yeah, I love that. That's perfect. Yeah, great. Great. Let me walk through these last few here. -5, experiences the reality of Christian love and community. It's like after the gospel. And again, these don't have to happen in this order. We're not suggesting that they happen in this order. They might be all goofed up. But you might invite him to your, we're part of a community group, and it's like, well, we've tried to invite this one guy that I pray for and I connect with is also known by somebody else in our community group. We've tried to invite him over to one of our barbecues or something. So far, he's resisted, but the other family has some young kids, and he has young kids. It's like, we got to keep working this angle. But let them see what Christians do for fun. And that it doesn't, you don't have to get drunk every time to have fun, you know, even some of that thing. 4, recognizes the need for a personal response to Jesus. That's when the light bulb is starting to come on, and they go like, oh, this isn't just religion then, you know. -3, comes to a clear understanding, did I say that already? Gospel. 2, convinced that the gospel is truth. -1, decides to turn to Christ. 0, the hallelujah moment, they trust Christ for salvation. And then there could be a whole number of pluses going forward, a whole discipleship aspect. But this is just, our hope when we present this is like, we hope you look at this and go, oh, really, that counts? That we talked about family? It counts. It's a step. And so here's a couple of things in your notes, steps in the journey. There's just a couple of blanks for you. I'll hit these bullet points before I hand it back to Bob. That just kind of summarize this. All right, here we go. People may not follow this order in their journey to faith in Jesus. So I said that already. That's true. So don't go home and go, it's going to go ding, 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 ding. If it does, great. But it's probably not going to. 2, people travel this path at different speeds. I've kind of complained to the Lord about that with some of my guys. It's like, all right, Lord, there's 3 years now, 4 years now. Depending on what's happening in their lives. And here's the next one. The journey towards Jesus can be greatly accelerated. So that's what we kind of want, by 2 factors. This is fascinating to me. A personal crisis, positive or negative, and you're the guy getting fired is your story. The person is facing. We're not exploiting it. We're going, and a pastor, a friend of mine told me this years ago. I was still in high school, but I remember him saying, he goes, there are 2 times in a person's life that he had found when people's hearts are open a little bit. It's a wedding and a funeral. And he said, as a pastor, I never miss the chance to share the gospel at those 2 things. Because emotionally, there's a crack in the door a little bit. Now, you're not pastor. Most of you aren't pastors. But if something, cancer, surgery, something positive, their kid graduates from high school or college, or they, something great. Here's the second one that can accelerate it. Someone in the person's life who is intentionally building we like to call them redemptive relationships with them. Someone in that person's life who's building a redemptive relationship with them, who would that be if you're praying for them? That's you. So you're already one of the answers to how God is working in their life. And I think we told you this before, maybe even in the Vision Forum. We have some data, we don't know where we got it from, that on average it takes 15 conversations and 5 different people to come to Christ. So you might be person 3 in conversation 4. But it's all part of that. But having somebody who's intentionally building a redemptive relationship with them. Another one that's not in your notes, but you might just want to note it is, and there's another bullet point that I don't have on the screen for you, but you have in your notes. We want to realize that God may already have someone ready to trust Christ. although we've just encountered them. Heading towards the gospel is a good thing, especially if you're only encountering someone briefly, like on an airplane, right? But the other thing I was going to add to this is it may take some extra steps if the person has a deeply religious background. So working with a Catholic or a Muslim or somebody of another faith, we're not saying that the 13 or 14 steps are all the steps either. You were like, and I especially find this with Catholics is like, and I think I said this last time, I'd actually rather work with isn't the right way to say it. I'd rather connect with someone whose slate is blank than someone who has a lot of religious baggage, with, that's not probably the best way to say it either, stuff in their life. But our main point in showing you this chart, and I hope you like dog-ear this page or something, I find that I have to come back to this and remind myself of some of these steps along the journey as well. But hopefully it's encouraging to go, oh, okay, it's not minus 14 to zero in one shot. One step is good. So Bob, why don't you come, and he's going to help us do something with this.
Yeah, at the top of page 36, we're going to interact. And what I need you to do as quickly as you can, it's going to be easy for those of you at tables of six, I need you to break into groups of three. So some people are going to have to move because, Joel, you're all by yourself. So if you have a table of six, split it in half, three, 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 and okay. You're going to move over here? Okay. And you got three there. Stay there. Okay. Why don't you go join Joel over here? And you got a group of two. Okay, here we go. You got a lot to do in a short time. Turn to page, I said 36, go back to 35. Hopefully you have two, three, or four names of people. On your own, not yet talking about it, try to write those names down where those people are on the chart. So think of the people you're trying to reach. Are they at a minus 10? Are they at a minus 2? And write their names at the bottom of that chart where it says, on average, the journey takes somewhere on that market so that you know Fred is a 4, Jerry is an 8, Susan's a 2, minus 2. Okay, now get in your groups of three. You're going to have 9 minutes, so you each get 3 minutes. Share with the other two people what your conversations have been like with those people, where you are with them, and any barriers that you're facing with them. Just kind of share, okay, one of my friend is Susan. Let me tell you about Susan. And, you know, if you keep it confidential if you need to, but, you know, tell generically, how's that going? Have you met with them? Where are you with that? So go, first person, go, and you have 9 minutes to do that.
Looks better. Me.
Thank you.
definitely.
Let's wrap it up. I hope you found that.
Let's do it.
I hate to even break in. You're having such good conversations. Hopefully that was encouraging. Now, okay, so look at page 36. And I'm going to kind of jump ahead down to the bottom. I want you to do this individually. There's three spaces there. So if you have three people, what I'd like you to do is the name of the first person, write their name in that slot. And maybe right after that, write the number they are at on the chart, -7, -8, wherever they are. So fill in those names. If you have two names, three names, four names, fill in the names of those people. And then what I'd like you to do for a couple minutes on your own, what action steps could you take to move that person the next step closer to Christ? What's one or two things? What are two action steps that you could do. Maybe it's, you know, plan a meal, whatever. You know, you think that through. What are two specific action steps you could take with each of those people? So take a couple minutes to do that.
If I do this, it's going to put me way off, so I'll just use short, and it's fine. Can I enjoy this stuff? Then you rather than sharing, just pull your ideas and help each other out. Would you? But I can dump my dining room as I want.
Two more minutes. Okay, and then real briefly, just share with the other two people the action steps you came up with. Now, you don't have to say with each person, but just share some action steps you came up with, because that might be helpful to the other people to hear some action steps that you can use. So just for a couple minutes, just share with the other two, what were the action steps you came up with? Go. We want to make sure that we get you out of here on time tonight. So Bruce is going to, we've rounded third base, and Bruce is taking us home.
Oh, that's right, because you sat here. You guys can go home if you want, but you're going to miss the best part. Just want to lay that out there, because, like, I told them if they're willing to sit in the table right in front of the speaker, I should let them go home early, but you're not going to want to miss this next few minutes from my own experience. I love to hear the conversation, hearing what these guys at the table I was at is like, yeah. And do you see how the mindset shift is already happening? It's like, oh, we didn't know that there was steps in there. It's like, oh, for them to move one. So I'm going to give you some bullet points here. You're on page 36 now. How understanding the journey helps. A couple of blanks for you to fill in. Some of this I'll just talk about a little bit with you. Here's the first, if I can get there. Number one, seeing the process helps you understand, here's your blanks, the part you play. Obviously, God's the one who's going to change their heart. That's the baseline, no question there. But you have a part to play. And for them to move one spot from a minus 12 to a minus 11, that's the part that you can play. As far as their heart changing, the Holy Spirit's going to have to do that. But I think just like, God doesn't need me, but he let me be in Joe's life, so I'm going to play that part, and maybe he'll use somebody else for part of it as well. Here's number two. Understanding the steps helps you pray specifically. That's your blanks. Pray specifically. I'll let you write that before I read the rest of it out. Understanding the steps helps you pray specifically and see answers to prayer. This is key. Long before the person puts their trust in Christ for salvation. Let me give you an example of what this looks like. This was really helpful for me, and I have to remind myself about this every few months because I forget. Let's say you're in a community group, and your community group has been participating in evangelism shift, and you're like, hey, guys, for our closing prayer time, tell us about the people you're praying for. How's it going? It's like, okay, well, would you guys all help me pray for Joe that he would cross the line of salvation? Yeah, we'll pray for Joe. And our community group meets about every 2 weeks, holidays and stuff, we don't. So you come back in 2 weeks. Did God have any answers to prayer? No, Joe didn't come to faith in Christ. Well, let's keep praying for Joe to come to faith in Christ. That's a pretty typical way to share prayer requests for somebody who doesn't know Jesus. What if you came to your community group and you said, Joe's at a minus 12, minus 11, whatever it is. Would you guys pray? I'm going to go back to my own chart too. I'll pick one. Joe is at a minus 10. He becomes open to talking about personal issues. So I'm able to talk about his family and his work and things like that. So guys, when we come back in 2 weeks, would you pray that Joe would move to a minus 9, has discussions about spiritual things with the Christian? Yeah, we'll pray for you for that. What is more likely, that you pray for Joe to come to Christ, which is what we want, or that in 2 weeks you come back and they go, hey, did you get to talk to Joe? I did. Did you get to spiritual things? We did. And you go, hallelujah, God answered prayer. Do you see how encouraging that is? Instead of the Joe didn't get saved again for the second year in a row to 2 weeks later, it's on your mind, you're praying about it, you and Joe go out for coffee or breakfast, and you say, man, I'd love to know what your religious background is. Oh, I grew up in this church. I had this bad experience. Or it's like, I loved my pastor or preschool. And so all along the way, you get to celebrate God's answers to prayers in these steps. Does that make sense? Like, yeah. Here's the third one. Here's a couple of blanks for you. You stop assuming your friend or acquaintance understands Christian terminology. Stop assuming that they understand Christian terminology. So let me give you an example. Sin. If they were to describe what sin is like, well, I suppose like murder, that's probably a sin. They don't understand the sin. Try explaining the sin nature, that we're selfish people and we're always going to do our self-serving interests. They're not thinking of that. They're thinking of the big ones. But you and I know that because of Adam and Eve and the fall and all this stuff is like, again, as we get more and more post-Christian, we're going to have more and more people who do not understand our even basic terminology. So here's a really silly video that illustrates that. I think you'll like this one.
Presenting Real Christians of Genius.
Real Christians of Genius.
Today we salute you, Mr. Christiany speaking person.
Mr. Christiany speaking person.
When conventional wisdom said no one can understand what you're communicating, you dared to prove them wrong.
Dared to prove them wrong.
You knew your neighbor didn't know words like Trinity, salvation, and eschatology, but you overused them anyway.
You can't stop me now.
When people told you what they believed, you had the guts to laugh in their face and wish them luck in everlasting retribution.
You gotta be kidding.
So stand proud, chosen one. Yea, though your words confuse the masses, thou knowest what thy meaneth.
Thou knowest what thy meaneth.
Please don't be those people. It's a funny way of saying it, but it's really, they don't know what you learned in Sunday school 40, 50, 60, 10 years ago. So, yeah. So here's what we're going to do at our tables. This isn't going to even take any time. We want you not to present the gospel, but to talk about the gospel at your table without using any of these words. Okay, so you have 2 or 3 minutes at your table to talk about the gospel, not the presentation of the gospel, and you may not use any of those words. Go. That's all the instruction you need. How hard was it?
It's hard. It's a terrible bad for us.
Was it better than you thought? Give me just a quick sample of some alternative words or descriptions. I'm not even going to go to every table. Just what are some words you came up with?
Creator.
Okay.
Lord.
Love.
Son.
Son.
Joy.
eternal reality.
Wow.
What?
I can step that party, but Jesus.
We didn't put Jesus on the list. We didn't put Jesus on the list. Good pickup.
Well, yeah.
Relationship.
Relationship. Good. Good sample.
Taking the replacement.
Replacement. Okay.
Broken.
Broken. Good. We're actually in one of our other sessions, we'll talk about brokenness, that everybody's broken. Now, if you think about this, who are the best people that know how to do this? That's not a very helpful thing. Any teachers of toddlers? Are any of you toddlers, Sunday school teachers or whatever? You're the ones who have to take these terms and explain it to a child. So I'm not calling the lost children, but you almost have to think like a toddler teacher and go, what terms would I use, right? That when you think about it, it's like, yeah, they can explain theological ideas to a two-year-old or a three-year-old. So I got one more silly little video for you on language, so enjoy this one too.
It's mein Sektor. Das hier ist das wichtigste Gerät des Küstenwächters. Das Gerät und das Gerät. Überlebensradar.
Mayday, mayday. Hello, can you hear us? How do you hear us? Can you... Okay, over. I mean, we are sinking. We are sinking.
Hello? This is the German Coast Guard.
We are sinking. We're sinking.
What are you thinking about?
Have you heard that one before? Yeah, you saw it coming, didn't you? It's still pretty funny. It's like, we think we know what we're hearing and explaining back, but sometimes we're just not. So, all right, I got one more bullet point for you. There's your number four. Da-da-da. It helps you take action. So understanding these steps helps you take action. So you're no longer looking at these great big huge giant leaps you have to make. You're looking at how can I help this person, him or her, take the next step. That's it. And again, we're not underselling the need to hit the streets and hear the gospel, to share the gospel. All good, but for those of us who are building relationships with people at work, some of you are mentioning family members or all the people on your list, is like, I don't know how my sister is ever going to come to Christ, you know, or my brother or my grandfather. What would be a step? So we're hoping that this kind of is just like, oh, thank you. And again, for somebody even like me, I do this publicly, but I'm, like I said, I'm more introverted. I'm not an evangelist. It scares me to get there. It's like about every couple of months, I have to come back to this chart and go, oh, Blaine, what would be the next step for Blaine? And yeah, he's my eye doctor, and I had my annual eye appointment here about 3 weeks ago, and we chat about all kinds of stuff while he's doing the eye exam and how I'm doing and things like that. And he's a tough nut to crack. He's been hurt. He was divorced as well. He's also got young kids, and I keep praying for him, but it's like, Lord, is there any kind of, what is the next step for him? So if we can get you thinking like that, that's great. So, Bob, you're going to come and close us out tonight by giving us our next lifestyle priority.
Yeah, to me, this goes along with the being sent, you know, like, okay, I go to the Starbucks or I go to the grocery store and I maybe have 30 seconds with that employee. Maybe I can move them a step closer just by being a good Christian and treating them nicely, you know, those kind of things. In my files at home are probably 700 to 750 sermons that I've preached, and my dear wife has read every one of them before I was allowed to preach it because she has veto power. So I hand her my sermon for this Sunday. that she went through, and she's a first grade teacher. I never learned good English, so she corrects everything. And she said, are you sure you want to use the word sanctification in your sermon? You know, they've been saying, Josh said they got a lot of new people coming. They're not going to understand what that means at all. So she got me right there. So you always have to be thinking about the words you're using. Okay, we're going to go to page 12. Our witnessing lifestyle priority number 3, helping people take the next step on their journey towards Jesus. How are you doing with that? Real quickly, 1 to 10. You know, where are you on that? Is that, you think you're pretty good with that? Yeah, you're just kind of learning to do that. And then what we want you to do, I think we have the slide of their lifestyle priority slide.
No, that's it.
If you could put that up. Okay, what we want you to do there is take what you wrote on page 36 and write the people's names in. Relationship 1, what's my action step? Relationship 2, what's my action step? Relationship 3, what's my action step? So we're helping people take the next step. We want to record at least one action step for each person. And this is your own journey, and hopefully, as you look at this, priority number 1, priority number 2, there's a place for you to check. I've begun that. I've started that. I'm thinking about setting this. I'm building real relationships. And then when you feel that you've gotten it to the point where you're doing it, you can mark developed. But this is the one for tonight. Is what are my 2, 3, 4 people, and what's one action step I could take? Back on the piano, I was forced to take piano as a 5-year-old. Well, maybe 7-year-old. My older sister, she's 4 years older than me, had to take it. We had a really mean teacher. Every time we'd go, she'd trim our nails because she didn't want to hear our nails clicking on the keys. Sometimes we even bled. She cut them so short. Still to the day, I kind of chew my nails at times. That's probably what did it. And I'd be in there playing, learning, and all the boys were outside playing baseball. And all I remember about it is that the first book was a book that was made specifically for boys, pirates. It was a book where you learned a song, and then you got to move your ship around the world. They had a world map, and you got to move. I never got out of the harbor. And in that same year, my wife says I'm ADHD without medication, and I've always been a drummer. I'm always doing this. So I think it was 5th grade, the guy came and said, Bobby, we want you to go down and try playing the bass drum in the band. And so I switched from the piano to the drums, and I've been playing the drums ever since. So you don't have to read as much music when you play the drums. You just kind of feel the beat. But I never get out of the harbor. Let's close in prayer. 2 of you. Pray out loud for what we've learned tonight, and then I'll close this. Whoever wants to be bold enough to pray for us and for the people we're trying to meet, let's do that. Well, Father, we thank you for Jesus. We thank you that at one time in our lives, someone shared the gospel with us and it clicked. And as we think back, we were on a journey. We took steps. It didn't all happen at once. You brought different people. You sent different people into our lives to move us along this journey, and that's what you're doing now. We guide people to Christ. We don't lead anyone to the Lord. The Holy Spirit does, but we guide them. So thanks for what we're learning. We pray for safe travel home. We pray for a restful night of sleep. pray for a great morning, learning more about how we can reach our pearls, those people that we have on our list, with the gospel. So just thanks for the attentiveness of the people tonight and the fun we've had, and we look forward to gathering back tomorrow. We pray in Christ's name. Amen. 7:45. If you could be here, we'll start right at 8.
I thought of one quick, can I tell one quick story?
No.
This isn't, oh, okay. You're fired. This is John North's story from Australia, and it just occurred to me while we were sitting there. It's like, you never know how God's going to open a door. John has, he's my age, he has four kids as well at home. They had a neighbor across the street. They were trying to figure out how to develop a relationship with this person at all. So in their breakfast time one morning, they were praying for this person by name, and all of a sudden they heard something outside. Like, what was that? John goes to the door, and the neighbor was backing out of the driveway and backed into his vehicle. And he's like, sometimes the Lord gives you an answer to prayer that you weren't even wanting to have happen, but it opened a door for a conversation. So you just never know. But yeah, we'll see you. We'll start sharp at 8 o'clock tomorrow morning. If you want to come a few minutes early, it would be great. We'll see you then.
Yeah, great.